Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any.
What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if the American people learned the truth?
The FBI has foiled about 17 plots to kill Americans during the past 10 years. What it will not tell you is that there have been 20 foiled plots, and of them, three were interrupted by members of the public. The 17 that were interrupted by the feds were created by the feds. Why do we pay the government to trick us into believing it is keeping us safe? What if a government that manipulated us could be fired? What if a government that lacked the true and knowing consent of the governed could be dismissed? What if it were possible to have a real game changer? What if we need a Ron Paul to preserve and protect our freedoms from the government? What if we can make elections matter again? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes, to love your country, you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
It's critical that every citizen of this country rise up and do something, because the day of reckoning is at hand and time is running out.
Unless we do something, we're going to get the government that we deserve.
How did you let this happen? Wake up out there. You know, it's your children. Don't you care? Look what these people are doing to you.
There are 200 million adults in this country. Why we are letting them get away with what they are, why we're not marching in the streets.
Do everything in your power to restore freedom and your individuality back to America. Stop being a country run by the institutions for the institutions. Let's go back to we the people, by the people, for the people.
You have to stop being scared. You have to stand up and do what's necessary to take back, to stop these bankers, these elite, this government full of lies, congressmen full of liars.
And the Federal Reserve. And the fractional banking system.
And the Fed.
Elect Ron Paul. And the war.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You, the people, have the power. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance.
Let us all unite. Maybe years and years ago, that would have been something great to say. Today, nobody is united. Anyway, Joseph Gibson here broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 657-383-0616. You can call in and just listen if you wish. If you wait, if you have a story to tell, or you want to be heard, or if you have a question for me, or if you're a crank caller, we've had a lot of those over the past couple weeks, press the number one, and I will connect you. I don't screen calls. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, there is a screen room option here where I can talk to somebody off the air without everyone else listening. It's the screening room, the screen callers. I don't even know how to use it, to be honest with you. I know I've tried it a couple times. I end up hanging up on the person. So, but there is a screen room. But I'd rather be 100% live, original. You know, I don't want to screen people and say, well, what do you want to talk about? Well, you know, because that's none of my business. It's up to you to call in and say what's on your mind and keep me on my toes. You know, talk about what's on your mind. What you know, that without you, there is no show. Well, there is. I could sit here and yak and talk like Captain Kangaroo on Freedom for All Network. You know, I could talk and, you know, listen to my mouth and have one listener, you know, me, and maybe my mother, you know, or Rudy Orr. Oh, Rudy Orr. Oh, boy. Back on it, let me tell you, I'm glad we're finally off that subject, Rudy Orr. But still, they still are mingling with me and trying to challenge me and posting things, hacking into my show, whatnot. So I'm surprised they have that much intelligence. But Rudy Orr with a seventh grade education and a silly little show he does. And Blog Talk Radio should be ashamed of themselves for allowing, you know, I bet that's just a computer-generated response they sent me a couple weeks ago saying, you know, to cease and desist what I'm doing on Blog Talk Radio. I think Blog Talk Radio just lets everything go, just free-for-all. I really do, you know. But anyway, they've yet to kick me off as of right now. I'm still here. They threatened to kick me off if those of you who we're not listening or watching, you know, they're fake, you know, it's fake, you know, it's fake nonsense. And just like these telemarketers that call us and try to scam us. I was talking to somebody today and I guess he won a prize, but, he has to pay $300 to collect that prize. And there's elderly people out there that will actually do that. And that's what's scary about the situation here. And I asked this individual, tell me, 30 years ago, I don't remember these telemarketers harassing people. You had Publishers Clearinghouse, that was with Ed McMahon. That was about it. You didn't have people bombarding you with scams and nonsense.
And that's the problem, truth in advertising. You know, all these people who are spoofing their caller ID, which is illegal, it's a federal crime, to pretend to have a different number than what you really have. But people get away with it, and they do it. You know, it's not right.
But I want to bring up, let's talk politics here a little bit maybe. You know, and again, those telemarketers out there, that is, you're just absolutely disgusting. It's disgusting what you're doing. Taking advantage of the elderly. Like I said, I listened to this message, and he won a prize, and it's like a five-minute-long message. And as long as he has $300 to pay to collect his prize, you know, this is a crime, folks. And truth in advertising. And this is a very easy crime to solve. They could track these phone numbers down when people spoof their caller IDs and they pretend to be a different phone number and they scam the elderly. They could do this. They have the technology to do this. Okay? And one of the scam numbers, I want to broadcast it right now. Someone just posted in the chat room one of the scam numbers that you need to be aware of that claims you won a prize for $300. The phone number is 301-799-0275. Folks, if you get a call from that number, it's a scam. It's somebody trying to rip you off. Again, 301-799-0275. Thank you for my friend in the chat room there. Again, we run a chat room. Remember, one more time for the new callers, the phone number that's a scam is 301-799-0275, because I just saw about five people jump in. So if you got a story you want to share tonight, you got something on your mind you want to talk about, the phone number to the show is 657-383-0616. I'm hoping an old friend of mine will check in tonight. I'm watching the switchboard. I'm waiting for his phone number. He's from Florida, actually. He's actually from Florida, this individual, and he's going to promote his air conditioning business. And I've got one caller already that's a private number. I don't know who that is, but when I finish my introduction, I'll connect him first, the first private caller. But again, these scams and these telemarketers, truth in advertising, it's detrimental. It really is, because they take advantage of the elderly bad. They really do. Because elderly people, when they get a phone call, I mean, even my grandmother, who said she was going to be listening tonight, told me to call her, but she's probably sleeping in her chair, you know, and she should be listening tonight because I'm trying to educate her on this type of stuff when one of these people call. And, you know, don't pay any attention to them. When they say you owe a bill, do not send them money. You see, these elderly people, they're tricked so easily because, listen, the people that are 75, 80 years old, look, these people, they don't like to owe people money. They're honest. You know, they believe what people tell them. You see, they grew up in a different time, a different generation. And when someone calls them and say, hey, you owe me money, I'm such and such a company, and you have an account with us, they believe it. They don't want to ruin their good name. And they'll send them a $300 check. They'll send them a $500 money order. You know, they'll get ripped off. And that's the thing. You know, how dishonest can we possibly be here in society? Come on. Why would you do something like that to take advantage of people like that? It's disgusting. But real quick, before I get to the first caller here, world events, current events, North Korea situation. This tech job here launches a missile. It blows up 5 minutes or 2 minutes after it launches from the launch pad. Apparently they're saying that maybe the United States aircraft carriers or destroyers use technology to hack into their computer systems, so therefore the launch failed. North Korea... You know, listen, for all the snowflakes out there, I'm going to tell you right now, North Korea should be turned into a parking lot, okay? We need, when you threaten another country with nuclear warfare,
It is the obligation of that country or the government of that country to protect its citizens. This guy in North Korea is whack. He's whack. Okay? And we talked, and again, we talked about this a few nights ago about North Korea, actually, and Easter Sunday, and how this had to do with the end times, because we all know the Bible talks about the end times, and the Red Army will invade from the north and attack Israel. And then the Man of Peace will show up, and we'll have world peace for 3.5 years. There'll be a treaty with Israel, and then the Man of Peace, this treaty will be broken, and then you will have the last 3.5 years, which is a 7-year tribulation, and the last 3.5 years will be hell on earth, unless you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many people believe that we'll be removed from the earth before this happens. I do not believe that. I believe we will be here. We're nothing special. I believe we'll be removed, like the book of Revelation says, during the last half hour of the tribulation. And we got also into subjects where, look, what is God? I mean, let's put it simplistically here. If I'm wrong and God does not exist, okay, you have nothing to lose, right? But if I'm right, and God does exist, and the Bible is true, and you should have done what you were supposed to do, like many people have testimony, first-hand experiences with death, no matter what science has to say. If I'm right, you've got a hell of a lot to lose. And don't tell me you're going to deal with it when you're on your deathbed, all right? So you've got a lot to lose if you're going to wait to the last minute, or if you fail to listen to what we were talking about Easter Sunday. You've got a lot to lose. It's called eternity. But if I'm wrong, hey, what happened? You're dead. You're dead, and you go into the ground 6 feet under. You know, the worms eat you. You know, that's it. You got nothing to lose. Game over. But again, if I am right, and if Jesus is not a lie, let me tell you something. You got a lot to lose. So you need to wake up, folks. You really do. You know, and that's what it's all about here. And I'm checking the numbers here. I'm waiting for my friend here to log in. I'm scrolling down the numbers. We've got about 39 callers on the line here tonight. This might be my friend, actually, here. I see a new number popping up. And I'm going to say hello to him. Hello, Brian. I believe that's Brian in Florida, my old buddy there, and we've been on the air now for about 20 minutes talking about certain topics and things. But I do have a caller, and I've got people in the chat room. I see Reva. Is that Reva in the chat room? Reva in the chat room is logged in, and she's typing, he or she, jokes on you. I'm getting cremated. Well, you can get cremated if you want. That's fine. Well, just that, Reva, I want to get to the caller because the caller has been waiting a long time, the private number. I don't know who this is, and I also got Bitbanker. Well, actually, the private number unmuted himself. So I'm going to go ahead and get to Bitbanker here from Meriden, Connecticut. Meriden, Connecticut, and I welcome Joe from Sebastian, Florida on tonight. It's been a long time since you've been on. I hope you're in good health, Joe in Sebastian, Florida. And I'm kind of hoping there, my buddy Brian there and the shows in the future will advertise his air conditioning company that he works for, because we do have a lot of listeners from Florida listening here on the program. So anyway, Bitbanker from Meriden, Connecticut. Go ahead. You're live on the air. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. Actually, I pressed the one in the very beginning, but evidently the phone here didn't take the one, and I didn't know it, and I didn't want to keep flashing on your screen, so I just took a wild guess afterwards, and evidently it didn't go through, so it went through the second time. Yeah, but you're talking about that guy over there in North Korea, that Tu Hung Lo guy. You know, he launched that missile, you know, and supposedly it didn't go off like you said. Well, it would be great if someone did jam it, because, you know, if this guy over here can't open a can of paint and paint with a paintbrush, we definitely don't want to let him paint our house. You know, if he can't get a missile off the ground, what the hell is he going to do with a nuclear weapon? you know, or is it all just a bunch of BS? You don't know. Maybe he's over there jumping up and down with these nuclear weapons, just saying, "Hey, look at me, look at me, look at me." You know, I'm the bully of the world. You know, I guess he still thinks we're fighting a war. You know, that's what they think over there.
The North Korean war you're talking about. Well, Reva, hang on, but Reva in the chat room there, banker, says the joke's on you. I'm getting cremated. And I want to really address that there because I pay attention to people in the chat room. People who don't want to be on the phone. They want to remain anonymous just for the new callers out there. You can click on the link to the show and type in the chat room. You got to create a username, and you got to log in and create a username. And you could be anonymous in the chat room and voice your opinion. So go ahead, Bitbanker, real quick, because I got a couple other people who have got some opinions here maybe that they want to voice.
Yeah, well, the telemarketing scams that are going out there, you're absolutely correct. It's the elderly that get taken advantage of. And there's scams coming all day, every day on the phone. They're spoofing their caller ID number, which is a federal offense, and they're trying to rip everybody off. And of course, everybody would, I don't mean this literally or to insult the elderly. I don't, because I'm there myself. But anybody with half a brain can see through it. But there are the people out there that want to make sure they pay their bills and they want to claim that prize. And you can call your local phone company. You can call the FTC. You can go to the FCC. It's all a violation of law, and nobody is actually going to help you because nobody cares. And
a lot of us, Bitbanker, hang on, a lot of us get these crank calls, these spoof numbers, these people that are calling in and trying to scam us. You want a prize. You know, just pay me $300 and you can collect it. How do we, and Reva wandered out of the chat room, I guess, you know, they're in such a damn rush, you know, they won't let me answer the freaking question. But Reva, I will answer your question if you're still listening, so go ahead, run away, go on Facebook, do whatever you're doing. And everybody's in such a damn rush, they can't wait 5 minutes for someone else to talk, you know. But go ahead, Bitbanker, go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you, I was trying to get to Reva here. But go ahead, Bitbanker. Get back to this nonsense.
I understand. I heard her other phone ringing there in the background. Maybe she won a prize of some kind, and she has to take that call instead. because that's more important than actually discussing something with an actual person, because all you're going to get are recorded announcements and voicemails, and after you're pre-qualified that way, they'll actually transfer you to a real person that if you say the wrong word, they'll just hang up on you. Because it's all a scam. It's all a scam from the word go. So if you get any calls from the IRS or the FCC or the FTC or from Marriott or a cruise line or an airplane flight or anybody at all that says you want anything, just waste their time. But don't send them anything. Don't give them your name. Don't give them your address. They're going to tell you they know who they're talking to. They're going to tell you everything. But. Then they're going to ask you your name. Then they're going to ask you your address, and then your credit card, and then your checking account. And then
don't give them any personal information at all. Don't say, yes, my name is so-and-so, because they could take that first name and put it together with your address, get your last name, eventually get your driver's license number, and scam everything you have, or even if you don't have anything, open accounts in your name. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it starts from the onset of the call when you say hello, and they say, or if it's a real call, they'll say hello, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so, and you'll say yes. Remember, never say yes. If your name is Smith and they say hello, Mr. Smith, don't say yes. Say go ahead, and they'll say, is this Mr. Smith? Go ahead, I can hear you fine. Mr. Smith. Is this Mr. Smith? They're going to try to listen. What the hell's wrong with you? Go ahead. Didn't you hear me? I told you three times already. Never, never confirm their questions ever, ever, because they write it down. The number gets sold to the next scammer for a fee. And you know what? The next scammer calls. Now they know your real name. They know your address and so on and so forth all the way down the line. But your government's not out there to help you.
And Bitbanker, I just want to say real quick, you're in Meriden, Connecticut, and I've got a longtime friend here on the line. I see him, and he's not going to press one. He said he would just listen here tonight. I talked earlier, and, well, maybe he hung up. No, he didn't. Okay, good. I still see his number. Hang on. Who hung up on
me? It's okay. I'll get done.
Okay, I'll go ahead and mute you. I'll ask you for your advice about the state of Connecticut. That's my question here. The state of Connecticut, because you live in the state of Connecticut, I'm here in North Carolina, okay? And my advice is, this, you know, my buddy told me this, my friend here, a longtime friend, look, you can't make a living in the state of Connecticut. Packs of cigarettes are freaking $10 a pack. I mean, the taxes are outrageous. I mean, how are people surviving in the state of Connecticut? What are they doing? How are they making a living? Is it just for the rich and the elite and then the poor? Is there any middle class left in the state of Connecticut? How the hell can you make a living? Because my friend here told me, look, I had to get out of the state of Connecticut. You know, you got to be a millionaire to live here because there's no money up there. The working man cannot make a living. Well, what's your opinion on that?
First of all, I'm not in Connecticut right now. I'm on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls, and we're just getting ready to go over the falls in a barrel when we get off the call. But as far as Connecticut goes, you know, you got to do what most young people, most married people do there. You got to get your credit cards. You know, you got to max them out to 10, 20, 30 grand, you know, and then file bankruptcy. But it is expensive to live there. You know, but if you've been living there 50, 60, 70 years, really nothing has changed. Yeah, cigarettes are 10, 26 a pack or something like that and whatever. But, you know, you smoke less, you give up smoking, you don't buy cigarettes. Rents are high, yeah, but, you know, most people have been there a long time don't pay rent, so it doesn't matter. Taxes are high, and that's a killer. Ain't much you can do about that. You know, you can't go out to eat if you're young. You know, if you can go out to eat, but then, you know, you got to put on those credit cards, like I said. So you get yourself in debt. You spend every penny you make. You get paid on Friday, and you're broke on Sunday, and you take mac and cheese to work, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the young people really do there, but I can just imagine. But, you know, wages, if you get a decent job, you can skimp by. You know, if you get a halfway decent job and you're single, you can still get by pretty good and still, you know, buy a house and make a mortgage payment. But for the most part, most people walk around like downtown and everything, and they bum money from you and they steal whatever they want. And that's the way it goes.
Panhandling, yeah, or work three jobs, you know, and work yourself to death. And that's why you have mothers and fathers working, trying to get by and still collecting food stamps and doing whatever they can. But like my buddy said, and he lives in Florida, hopefully in the future he'll call in and plug his business in Florida. I forgot what part of Florida he said he was from the other day, he told me. And Florida is where the money's at, I guess, or he has a family down there that has a company. And I know we've got Joe from Sebastian, Florida, on the phone line here tonight. I don't know how the economy is in Florida. I know we've got a bunch of people that listen from Florida. And we did have a private caller that was waiting. If you want to get on a private caller, that might be Mike from Wisconsin. Mike, if you want to tune in tonight, Mike from Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, go ahead, press number one. And all right, that's him. That's Mike. Okay, I'm going to connect Mike from Wisconsin.
Just one thing first. That's one of the reasons why That's one of the reasons why they're raising the minimum wage. Of course, all these people that are making $7 or $8 an hour are all in favor of raising the minimum wage to $10. But what they don't realize is once they get that $10, they're not going to get that $400 a month in food stamps anymore. They're not going to qualify for their subsidized housing. So you know what? They're the ones that are going to bite the bullet. But that's all I want to say. I'll let Mike get on there, and I'll listen for a while.
All right. Okay. All right, you're muted. All right, go ahead. Mike from the state of Wisconsin. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hey.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, Mike. Mike out in the state of Wisconsin.
Great.
Go ahead.
Great. Well, it's been a while since I've been talking on the show. I listen all the time. And, you know, I know it's rough to live in cities like Milwaukee. You know, it's, rents are $1,000 a month or more. But, you know, it all depends on how you can do things in your life. You know, my wife doesn't go to the store and buy a bucket of, Kentucky Fried Chicken and bring it home. She goes and she buys a chicken and brings it home. And then, then we have many meals off that chicken, including chicken soup, when everything is all eaten, down to the bone. And
what you're saying, Mike, not to interrupt you, is you know how to stretch a meal and you know how to conserve. You're utilizing the resources of the earth instead of going to a fast food restaurant and getting one meal that'll last for 4 hours before you're hungry again. Am I right?
That's correct. But like right now, for instance, I'm sitting out at my garden and my wife is in the garden and she's getting ready to plant her onion bulbs. She's got about 300 of them she's gonna plant. And yesterday she went through and she cut down her chives that she grows. And so we sat up last night cutting them into little pieces. And now they're in the oven and they're drying. And, we put them in all different kinds of foods. We sprinkle them on stir fries. We put them in soups. We use them for a lot of things. And, like right now I'm looking at the rhubarb. She's got about 3 feet of rhubarb. And granted, it's
and
only
Mike,
about
and Mike, but Mike, but Mike, hang on. There's people out there that are saying, huh? What the hell are you talking about? You know what I mean?
You don't have to have 5 acres to have a garden. People grow gardens on windowsills. It's not going to feed you for the whole winter. But, I'll tell you, something homegrown or grown by yourself is a heck of a lot better than, getting it on the grocery shelf.
Hey, Mike, you're out in the Midwest, Mike. How is the culture? And you've lived everywhere. You lived in the Northeast. You've lived, actually, you've been in Florida, too. That's how you met your wife. Because, I know you're a regular caller into the program. Mike, and anyone else who wants to call in tonight, the phone number is 657-383-0616. To listen, press 1 if you've got something you want to say. And remember, no calls are screened. We're 100% live. And unless I recognize a number, and we get a lot of people that crank call us. And, Mike, the past couple of weeks got people calling in, calling me an idiot, an a-hole, and I'm a Howard Stern wannabe. And, and we'll address that maybe here in a little bit. But, Mike, you're out there in the Midwest, and how is the culture different from, say, out in California or the Northeast? And you see, I was just talking about my buddy there in Florida. He works as an air conditioning technician, and he's a serviceman. Servicemen jobs are very needed today, like plumbers, landscapers, electricians. Service jobs are what supplies this economy, because we don't have any more factories anymore. They're all overseas, even though Donald Trump is trying to bring that back. I don't know if you saw what his latest executive order was, which was buy American, American-owned, support American, which I've always believed in. And my grandfather taught me that, actually. Buy American, always. But, Mike, you live in a different culture. In the Midwest, there's mainly farmers out there, and you got your cities, you got your scum, I know that, but You've got a lot of good country people out there, like you're talking about, who know how to grow their own food. How are the cultures different around the country from what you've experienced thus far in your life?
Well, it's just like, okay, you're talking about this gentleman in Florida that has an air conditioning business. He's in the right state to have an air conditioning business. You bring an air conditioning business to Wisconsin or Minnesota, you're not going to do as well.
You only got 1 month of summer up there.
You're absolutely right.
The air conditioner doesn't go on a lot. Let's put it that way. But
amen.
I think if people knew how to shop, that would be the first thing that could really help them out, because they always say, the food that's eye level in a grocery store is the worst for you. the food that's on the bottom and on the top is the best. Because people won't stretch to the bottom or the top to get anything. They want to get at eye level, you know. And they always say the outside of the grocery store is better than the inside, which I'm talking about, you know. You walk in the store, what's the first thing you walk into? The produce section, the vegetable section, you know.
That's right.
And then,
that's right.
You know, then you got the frozen foods and you got the milk and everything else. And, you know, usually around the back end and heading back to the registers is bread. You know, bread, bakery, things of that nature. And, you know, I'm not putting down anybody that doesn't know how to shop. It's just that I bet you I can go into a grocery store and buy twice the amount of groceries for $100 than you can.
That's right. And that's the older generation. And I can relate to that with my grandparents. They know how to shop. They could take a $100 bill and buy three times as much as what I could buy at a grocery store because they know how to shop, you know. And everyone, even my buddy down in Florida there, he knows his grandmother. You see, this is an individual I grew up with, and he had a grandmother. The generations are so far apart in their knowledge about things. And, Mike, you brought up something very interesting. The generations of today, I'm looking at it as an old man. I'm 44 years old, and I feel like I'm an old man, and I look at these people, these younger people today, they don't have a clue. I mean, I cannot even relate to them, you know. But Mike, and anyone else who wants to contribute tonight, because I want to wrap up the show a little bit earlier tonight. I'm going to wrap it up within the hour. We've got 23 minutes left to the program. So, and usually people want to click on at the last minute. And, Mike, I want to say welcome back to the program. But real quick, what do you think about North Korea and Donald Trump? And are we looking at World War III here, Mike? What do you think?
You know, what bothers me is, like my brother was talking about, you know, North Korea, you know, they just might be the clown out in the field jumping up and down, you know, waving their arms. But, you know, we have Iran, too, to deal with. And, you know, actually, you know, that side of the world is real powder keg. I mean, something's going to happen sometime. You just know it. You know it.
What do you think about this Facebook killer? And I'm bringing up my buddy again, who I talked to before the show. He actually brought this up. The guy killed himself. I mean, what do you have? You heard that? Have you heard what's going on?
No, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear he killed himself.
Yeah. And he was pulled over, I think, by the police, and he got out of the car and shot himself in the head. That's what I think happened. And his name also is skeptical. His name is what? Steven Stevenson? Who the hell has a name like that? Steven Stevenson. You know what I mean? So I'm surprised you didn't hear that, Mike. But, yeah, he got out of the car. He shot himself in the head. The guy, he got out of his car the first time and shot an innocent man for no reason. And then he's been on the run for the past. It was an Easter Sunday shooting. And then he's been on the run since Easter Sunday, obviously, and now he's shot himself in the head and killed himself. And this is social media. How far out of control is social media today? I mean, can we believe anything we see on social media? I mean, or are people really that influenced by social media today? And I know the elderly people out there may not understand what we're talking about. My grandmother, who's listening to the program, by the way, my grandmother, she's a supporter of the program, and a couple other relatives, and of course I got some friends listening tonight, and I got you, Mike, and Bitbanker Meriden listening, and Joe and Sebastian Florida listening. I've got four other anonymous callers listening, and a bunch of people in the chat room listening. So, Mike, social media. I mean, there has to be. I mean, we're a free country, but for goodness sake, how far is this going? We're now committing murders on social media. Where do we draw the line?
The only thing I got to say about killing himself? Is he just saved some state a lot of money? I mean, you know. Other than that,
right.
You know, all I can say is, you know, what he got justified what he did, and I guess, you know, a lot of people might disagree with me and, you know, say we should, you know, give him a pillow and a warm place to sleep. But, you know, I just...
Well, no. You know, he's Mike. I mean, he was a black man. He was wronged by the system, right? I mean, he was a poor black guy that just got wronged by the system. And, yeah, I mean, the poor guy... I mean, we need to blame Facebook for this. You know,
but
he shouldn't be held accountable.
Didn't he kill another black man?
Oh, he did. He did. But we're still going to make it into a race issue, though. Facebook is owned by a racist. So, therefore, the racist Facebook is responsible for making this black man kill another black man. Right?
Yeah, I guess so. I just don't
you
like
know,
it when
it's crazy.
That. I mean, you know, when I was growing up out in Connecticut, I mean, I ran grocery stores and convenience stores and everything, and I had a lot of black people working for me.
Where are
you know?
Mike? Where were you from in Connecticut? What town did you have grocery stores in? What city?
I ran Cumberland Farms and food bags, and we had food bags that I opened up in Colchester, at Bristol. I can't think of the other town I went to.
Meriden?
Anyway.
Were you in Meriden at all? Meriden, Connecticut,
yeah,
or Wallingford, my hometown?
Yeah, Meriden and Wallingford. Wallingford had a...
Really? Wow. Wow, I didn't know you were in Wallingford. Wow.
Yeah,
you opened up Cumberland Farms in downtown Wallingford?
No, I didn't. I just worked there. I opened up the two food bags in Meriden. There was a food bag on one side of the town, and then there was a food bag on the other side. And I opened those stores and hired the managers and then took off and started opening more stores for them. But
Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. I apologize. Go ahead.
I had a lot of black people working for me, and I promoted them just on their work ethic and everything else, and what kind of person they were. I mean, I really didn't take in the color of who they were. I mean, I don't know why I didn't do that because, you know, if no, I just didn't do that, you know, and had a lot of colored people, I don't know what you want to call them, but had a lot of them move up in the ranks, become assistant managers and managers, and, you know, they've done wonderful jobs, and, you know, I just don't like it that they pull this race card. You know,
I agree.
Everybody deserves a chance. You don't think there's a lot of white people out there that are, you know, discriminated against or, you know, don't have the opportunities? You know, I mean, the generations that came over and started this country, you know, our great grandfathers and, you know,
our founding fathers. You know?
That's right. You know? So,
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate you checking in with the program. Finally, again, we're only broadcasting tonight on my show because we didn't do a show on Sunday. It was Easter Sunday. Otherwise, our usual days are Sundays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then, on the Jesus Minister radio, I'm not going to call him Black Jesus anymore. You know what? Jesus isn't black. All right? He's a Jew. But Jesus Minister's network there, he allows me to do a show on his network at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays, okay? So on Tuesdays, I will let everyone know the phone number. I may have it here, and I'm going to announce it to everyone because I got a bunch of new callers here that are listening tonight. I see them. I wish they could contribute. You don't have to be afraid. Nobody's going to make fun of you, but that's okay. Listening is okay. The show number on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is 619-924-9807. That's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's on the Jesus Minister Show. I'm not going to call him Black Jesus because you know what? Jesus isn't black. He's a Jew. All right? And if he doesn't like that, then kick me off your show then. All right? Simple fact. We've proven this debate already, and we're not going to debate it again. And then my show, Understanding the Times in Which We Live In, is on Sundays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the call-in number is 657-383-0616. Again, 657-383-0616. If you didn't get it, go to my Facebook page, look up Joseph Gibson, click on the show link, and you listen to the archive of the show. All right? Anyone else who wants to contribute tonight, you got something you want to say, you want to talk about health care, you want to talk about things that maybe future show ideas maybe. Maybe we need to bring some things up in the future. You know, we got quite a following here. So don't email me with a show idea and then I bring it up and you don't show up. I've had that happen a couple times. So if you've got something you want to talk about, you want to, you know, you got something you want to say, the time would be now. And I'm scrolling up and down the numbers. People don't get this. I've got about 40 numbers and nobody wants to chip in tonight. Okay, that's fine. I know I saw a 410 number there that wanted to get on. Are you still there? 410, press the number 1, please, and I'll get you on. And I guess I get, oh, no, I don't see their number anymore. Well, like I said, everybody's in a rush. They don't have time, and, you know, I just don't get it. You know, I get to everybody. You don't have to worry about that. All right, BitBanker says he's still here, so maybe he wants a few more things to say. I'd like to end the show within the next 15 minutes, so maybe BitBanker has a few more things to say before we wrap it up. BitBanker, you're unmuted. Go ahead. You're unmuted, BitBanker. I'm going to mute you and then unmute you one more time. You said you're there. I don't see you. You there now?
How's that?
Hello?
How's that?
All right, I can hear you now. We can hear you. You're unmuted. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I got a couple things we can talk about. You know, you go to court and you get on the witness stand or whatever, or you say your piece and you tell a lie, and you know they have the court reporters there, they have the court lurkers, the state have their special agents installed to listen to everything that's said, so they can come in and attack you at a later date. Or the police take your statement so that they can use it against you at a later date. But I'd like to talk a little bit about these state inspections and these state emissions where you've got to pay every year or so to have your car inspected. Not that there's anything wrong with it. You know, I say it's good to have cars inspected because the elderly don't know when there's something wrong with their cars, and it may be beneficial. And I say, if there's nothing wrong with your car, then they should inspect it for free. Why do you have to pay if there's nothing wrong with it? Because I've been having my car inspected in Connecticut for years and years and years and years and years, and I have never, ever, ever had a problem. It's always paid a $20, and you're on your way. But I've run across a lot of these inspection stations, down in the south and up north here in Connecticut. Well, you know what? Even if there is something wrong with your car, for an extra $20, you can get that sticker and just drive out of there. So what good is this whole process if it's about air quality, if you're going to have this kind of stuff going on? I think they need to police themselves a little bit better and come up with a different kind of plan, because you know what? Listen to me, people in the states around the United States, it's not working. That's all I got to say.
All right, then. Well, Mike, you want to contribute to that? Or anyone else want to contribute about the North Carolina or Connecticut or Wisconsin or California or Florida? Joe in Florida, does Joe in Florida, Mike, still have a driver's license? Is he still driving? Because I know you two are, you know, that's your father. Does he still have a driver's license?
Yes, he does. Yes.
So he still drives. I wonder what the inspection process is down there.
Well, here in Milwaukee, they tried to do what was called a wheel tax.
Really?
And I'm pretty sure Connecticut has a wheel tax, and they wanted to start it out at $60 a car. And they voted it out.
Well, thank God, right? Great.
But on the same token, they voted in a trolley system to run downtown Milwaukee. And it's like, how is that trolley going to be running in the wintertime when it's 20 below zero and we have, 4 feet of snow on the ground?
Exactly.
You know that trolley isn't going to run three quarters of the winter, And, other things.
So Mike, it won't be able to pay for itself then. So who's going to cover those charges,
Right. That's what they've been fighting against for years, but it went through.
Wow.
It was like either vote in the wheel tax or we're going to pay, $50 million for a new trolley. And,
okay.
And one thing that, they were saying was, people are going to park on the trolley tracks and run into the store for a minute. What's going to happen if the trolley's coming down the tracks and your car is parked there? You're not going to get to the skid to go. You're not going to get where you're going, in the time that is allotted, So they were saying that, ridership is going to get less and less because, people got to get to work in the morning. Well, they parked their car down at one end of Milwaukee, because it's, $2-3 to park, and it's not, $10 like it is where they work, and they ride the trolley up. That's what they were trying to say. But then they came up with all these, scenarios that, how about in the wintertime? How about when we get a nice storm?
What are these trolleys? Because people maybe not understand that, because down here in North Carolina, we don't know what the hell a trolley is. So what's a trolley? Explain that, please.
It's here in Wisconsin, we have an electric line that runs through a couple towns down here, and it's fed by electricity, a big wire, up in the air. And that's what they're going to do down there. They're going to run these big electric wires, and then, the train runs off of that.
Okay.
But they call it a trout. And,
all right.
It's like, what they were saying was, how's this going to work, when we get an ice storm? Is it going to affect the electrical line that the trolley is trying to get, power from? How about when we get, two feet of snow? How are they going to clear the tracks in time? And can they clear the tracks with a regular snow?
I don't believe they could.
I don't think they could either. And they voted out that $60 a year wheel tax. So, see, it just goes to show you, it doesn't matter if you vote or if you don't vote. What matters is who counts the votes. So evidently, someone's getting their pocket lined out of the trolley.
Yeah, because this trolley's been, they've been pushing for this trolley for, I would say, at least the last 5 or 6 years, at least. And
Mike, you know, Mike, where are there trolleys anywhere else? Not to interrupt you, but are there trolleys anywhere else in the country, like Florida and maybe Bitbanker in Connecticut?
You have, you know, you have the one in California that's so famous, you know, the trolley that, you know, goes up and down those big hills and everything. And Minnesota has a trolley system.
Well, if Minnesota has a trolley system, how do they take care of the snow in the winter? I mean, obviously, if they have it, is it a disaster for them?
Yeah, and the thing is, the trolley system is completely state-funded because they don't have enough people riding it to even pay for the existing, you know, wages and things. And, you know, but see, Minnesota put like $200 million into their trolley system. So it's like they got to run it to try to get at least some money back. And, of course, they're not, you know, but, you know, what I was trying to say.
No, I understand, Mike. I understand what you're saying. It's not a profitable thing. And why waste money on it? But if it works, fine. Maybe they should only run the trolley during the summer and spring months. Why and not pay for it to run through the winter months? Right.
Right. Right. But you know what they're gonna, what they're trying to do is, you know, saying that, you know, people don't want to park their cars on the street because of snow plows and being towed and everything else.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going to walk, they're going to walk down to the nearest trolley ticket station or whatever, and they're going to jump on the train or the trolley, and, you know, they're not going to worry about it. And
true.
I can see their point.
True.
I can see the point. But,
right. For,
you know,
and, like, for transportation like that, you know, what they could do out there is they could do something like Uber. And then when it becomes a success, we can get the government involved and screw the whole thing up royally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, anyone else who wants to contribute tonight, the time is now, because I'm going to wrap up the show here in the next few minutes. Contribute now, please. I want to give Mike a few minutes, or however he wants to wrap up the program, and then Bitbanker, and then we'll wrap it up. Unless I get a new caller in between, because obviously everyone, and we're number one. I know we got bumped down to number two in the host live chats on Blog Talk Radio. We were number one for a long time. We're down to number two with 11 chatters. So, hey. You know, out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, out of 11 shows going on right now on Blog Talk Radio, we're number two, man. You can't beat that, you know. I don't mind. We were number one for an hour straight, so amen, amen. We're being heard. We're popular. We are. And so, Mike, go ahead and wrap up the show, and then Bitbanker wrap up the show. Unless I get a new call, we'll wrap it up tonight. Go ahead, not Bitbanker. Mike, you first.
Okay. Well, you know, I would love to have you were talking about North Korea and everything else. You know, I'd love to have people's opinion on what they think is going to happen. You know, I'd love to have people's opinion on what's going to happen to our healthcare system. You know, what are people going to do that are disabled that, you know, have to take whatever the state gives you? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, I would like to hear the public, because no sense listening to a politician, because he's going to follow the money. And, you know, I really would, you know, like to have shows like that, that, you know, kind of.
Or Mike, we can call people. We can call people and ask for their opinion. You know, Mike, you have friends. You know, would you mind my nephew's radio show calling you and asking you your opinion on North Korea or the healthcare system? You know, I mean, we've got to expand the show. We're doing great. I'm bringing in new people. You see, you know. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, so, yeah, I mean, you know, like right now, Trump is down in Kenosha. He's down at the Snap-on plant. And,
you know, Paul Ryan, you know, was supposed to be down there to meet him, and all of a sudden he decided he didn't want to go. So,
Ryan is a snake. Paul Ryan is a snake. He, I'm telling you, he's a part of the establishment, and he is trying to like you said, Mike, a couple shows back, Paul Ryan is the cause of a lot of this controversy. He's the House Speaker, and he is screwing with Trump and his policies. You know that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because, you know, there was all kinds of protests down there. It started yesterday. And, you know, the protest wasn't really about Trump. It was about Ryan. And, you know, people know that, you know, well, Kenosha is his district. You know, he has James
or right.
Kenosha for single.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't like it that Ryan, you know, actually didn't even support Trump at all. I mean, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're best buddies. So I don't know who to believe. You know, that's what I say. Well, I don't really want to talk to a politician. I'd rather talk to a caller on the line here, because I really think, you know, they have their nose to what's going on. And politicians, they don't know much, in my opinion. But
they don't. But Donald Trump again. But Mike, like you're saying, Donald Trump, you know, he's doing way more than what Obama has done. He's done more in the last 4 months than Obama did in 8 years.
I agree, but you know, he has a lot to fix. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but you know, he's got a lot to fix. So I mean, you know, I'm glad he's doing it. And you know, I don't know what to say about him in North Korea or him in Iran, but you know, he's standing up to him. And basically Obama didn't stand up to anybody. So I mean,
no, he didn't. You're absolutely right. And Obama, what did Obama really accomplish during his 8 years? Can you give me one accomplishment that Obama accomplished besides Obamacare? I mean, that screwed up the entire medical system, the Medicare system? Hypothetically, can anyone out there give me something that Obama did? And don't make it up, please. He destroyed race relations. He destroyed the medical system. Our foreign policy was mush. You know, Mike, what do you think?
I honestly, I can't think of anything other than Obamacare. I mean, I really
yeah.
can't. I mean, I'm at a loss. I'm sorry.
How about you, Bitbanker? Can you think of anything? I'm messaging people now saying we're talking about the subject they want me to talk about, but Bitbanker, can you give your opinion on this?
Yeah, I think Obama did the same thing that Hillary Clinton wanted to do back in 1996, and that's why they were both running together back then, because one of them was going to finally screw us over, regardless, because, you know, her plan didn't work then, and his plan doesn't work now.
Yeah. And Hillary Clinton, what did we talk about? What happened to Benghazi? Where'd that go?
Right. What happened to Wienergate? What happened to Pizzagate? What happened to all these emails? What happened to everything? It just disappeared.
Yeah. As soon as Trump was elected, everything disappeared. We were all talking about the end of the world, and Hillary Clinton was this big criminal with all these emails, and she violated national security. What happened? And I talked about this with someone also. Look, doesn't it seem like the media goes in phases? Like, for instance, what happened to all those school shootings, remember? School shooting. Every time you turned on the news, there was a school shooting. All of a sudden, what happened? Nobody wants to shoot schools anymore? There's no more school shootings, right? Do you remember after Newtown? There was school shooting story after school shooting story. All of a sudden, I guess nobody wants to shoot up schools anymore. Remember plane crashes? Planes would crash everywhere. Hijackers, everything. All of a sudden now, I guess planes are safe again. We can fly on planes. You know? I mean, isn't it weird how these things go in cycles? Isn't it? I mean, what do you guys think about this?
Well, thank God for the TSA and strip searching all those elderly women, because that's probably keeping us safe.
Yeah, and those young children that they, you know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, remove that diaper.
Yeah.
You got a bomb in there.
Yeah.
Well, I invited a few people on the program here tonight, and a lot of them declined because they say they're busy. So, blah, blah, blah. They always call in at the wrong times, and I wanted to get Peter Ventura on to talk about a couple things, but we've run the length of the course, and I think we've done everything we can. So, Mike, unless you got something else you want to say, I'm going to turn it over to Bitbanker, and we'll wrap up the program tonight.
No, I don't really have anything. Your next show is
Thursday night. 6 p.m., Mike. Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I understand, I heard you were sick for the last couple shows. After the show, Mike, I'm going to give you a call, so hopefully you'll answer the phone. I'll give you a call about 20 minutes from now. Hopefully you answer the phone so we can talk about some personal issues. But Bitbanker, go ahead. Take a few minutes and wrap it up unless I get a new caller, because I got people messaging me saying they don't have anything to talk about tonight. So go ahead.
All right. Well, we talked about a lot of good subjects tonight, and especially what Mike was talking about with food and buying food and groceries. And, you know, Hippocrates is the father of medicine. Let medicine be your food and food be your medicine. And Mike's on a farm, and he's set there on everything, and he's growing all his own stuff. But he's absolutely right. It doesn't matter where you are. You could grow some nice herbs and spices in planters on your windowsill in New York City if you need be. Remember, those herbs and spices are just like the medicine. As a matter of fact, it's better than the medicine you get from your doctor, because it's generally not going to cause side effects. There are all kinds out there for anything that ails you. Don't go down to your Home Depot or Lowe's and buy a bag of the potting soil or whatever and bring it home. Go out to a local farm and dig up that smelly stuff that the cows drop behind from the ground, and you could ferment it for a little bit, and that's what you could start your herbs or spices in. You know, you could grow a lemon tree inside in the winter if you want. You could probably grow an orange tree. If you're planning on being anywhere for 10 years, plant some berries outside in the ground, for Christ's sakes. They're very good for you. You know, berries, blackberries, blueberries, raspberries, mulberry trees, things like that. They're very good for you, and they're going to come year after year, and you'll know when they're ready because the birds are going to eat them all. Because you go down to your local grocery store, you go buy yourself some Lando Lakes unsalted butter, and go buy some margarine, and take them out of the wrapper, put them both on the table in the summertime, and see which one the flies eat. And the flies won't even go near the margarine. You know, we've had Roundup out for years, the glyphosate, or whatever it's called. It's in Roundup to kill your weeds. Well, they're finding out now it's causing serious problems in humans, just like they're going to find out with the vaccines, because they think the vaccines are good, but the long-term, you know, multi-generational effects, they're not aware of yet. Well, they're probably aware of them, but they really don't know what to do, because we're so smart, we don't know how to fix the problem. But growing some stuff at home, because, like I told you, Hippocrates, let your food be your medicine and medicine be your food. But your herbs and spices aren't going to have a dramatic effect like a synthesized drug that you're going to get from your pharmacist. But if you do it religiously, continuously throughout your life, you may not have those problems. You're going to need those drugs. I was on an antibiotic for the first time in my life for 10 days, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, because I had some abscessed teeth removed. And that's the first time in my life I was ever on an antibiotic. Because anybody that knows, when you have a toothache, you will do anything to stop the pain. And so you know what? I took an antibiotic. I didn't want to, but you'll do anything to stop the pain. But after that, I went to my cabbages and fermented fruits and some good yogurts and things like that to try to offset what the damage that I think it had done to me. But everybody should go out there and plant something. You could get a 6-inch pot and grow yourself some herbs right in your own living room. You just step them with a scissor and throw them in while you're cooking. And it's the easiest place to start, the best thing to do if you have children or grandchildren. It'll give them something to tend to. It'll give them something to watch, and it'll provide much enjoyment. And if you grow any peppermints or spearmints or anything like this, and you're in a rush to go to work, you know what? Just grab a leaf and throw it in your mouth. Now you don't have to use that tainted mouthwash that's full of ethanol and everything else that is actually probably going to kill you or cause other problems with your mouth. Get a nice herb in there to freshen your breath. But that's what I think people should do. Back to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And people, I need to remind you, you know, we have a chat room here. It doesn't mean and this brings up the ratings of the program. That goes for Mike, the supporters of the program, maybe Joe in Spanish, Florida, others. You don't have to really log in and listen, so it screws up your phone call-in number. But you could pay attention to the chat room, guys. You know what I mean? Log in, click on the link on my Facebook page, and log into the chat room. Create a username. You know, Mike so-and-so, Joe Schmo from Kokomo, whatever. And bring up the chatters. That's another way to support the program. If we can get 40, 50, 60, 70, 100 chatters in the chat room, people will start to call in to the program. I noticed that. See, I've been looking at other blog talk shows, and I've been watching. And some other shows, what they'll do is they'll have everyone log into the chat room and then call in to the program. So click on the show link on Blog Talk Radio and get into the chat room and give me 40, 50, 60 chatters, and then you know what's going to happen? We're going to get a lot of new callers. I noticed that because I remember Mike said, we got to get more people to call in and give their opinion. Now, we've been doing it over the phone line now for the last year and a half, 2 years, and we've got a lot of new people, got a lot of wrong people to call in. But I really believe, like BitBanker, he logs into the chat room and then calls in. Like I said, you don't have to listen through the chat room because it'll screw up your phone. Just go ahead and mute the chat room somehow. It's not that complicated. Just click on the show link and log in as a guest even. You can even log in as a guest. You know, you don't have to choose a username or create a login name. Log in as a guest and become a chatter, you know, and you'll see what people are talking about in the chat room. So a lot of times we'll get a lot of conversations going in the chat room, and a lot of people on the phone line are saying, what the hell is he talking about? You know, because I'm watching the chat room. I'm watching people chat. And we need to build up the chat room. I really would like to see maybe about 100 chatters in there. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I can get 100 chatters, we're going to get 800 callers, you know. And I'm telling you right now, we can do it. We can do it. So supporters of the program, those of you out there listening, the supporters that are always here on Sundays and Thursdays, please log into the chat. Even if you got to log in just as a guest, click on the show link and log into Blog Talk Radio. It's not that difficult. All right? Well, Mike from Wisconsin, welcome back to the program. I'm going to give you a call here after the show in a little bit. BitBanker, thank you. Deborah Lewis, I was hoping you'd contribute here tonight, but you must be busy, but you're listening. I appreciate it.
And one thing
I've got
before
a
you go.
Caller. Somebody's calling me here on my personal phone, so you may hear a beep, and I may be interrupted. Why they're calling, I don't know. Joe in Sebastian, Florida, hope you're healthy and doing well. Thank you for listening. As always, supporter, Elizabeth Rondo, you disappeared. Elizabeth Rondo, you disappeared. I guess you fell asleep in your chair. I don't know. Elizabeth Rondo, you need to get up. Get up. Start getting active. You can't dwindle away in that chair. All right. Many people. My buddy, Brian. Thank you, Brian. Brian from Florida. Hopefully, he said he was going to listen tonight, and he did.
he did. So thank you very much. Another listener, new listener, guys. Never listened to the program before. Asked me what it's about. He listened tonight. So we're building, we're continuing always to build a great audience on this program. It's awesome. It's awesome. You know, we're talking to people around the world. It's awesome. So anyway, Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, please call back in at 657-383-0616. And to listen, press 1 if you want to talk. But, again, I want to build up the chat room. Mike, I'm hoping you can help me out with this. Become a guest in the chat room or pick a username. Joe in Spanish, Florida. I don't know if you're going to do it. I know Deborah Lewis tried. I know BitBanker's
comment about your chat room.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to comment about your chat room. It'd be a good idea if people get in the chat room. But Blog Talk's way of doing things are very convoluted. If you're going to go into the chat room, get yourself an ad blocker for whatever browser you're using. If you start moving your mouse around on the screen, they got ads pop all over the place. It's irritating. It's confusing. You turn the sound off by clicking the left that looks like the speaker button. You move your mouse around, then the sound comes back on. So make sure you turn your speakers off if you're going to be on the phone. Get yourself an ad blocker, and the chat room will run fine.
That's right. Very good advice. Very good advice. But some people, you know, they don't get that annoyed by the pop-up ads. I know you do. You don't like the pop-up ads. So some people don't mind it. They'll just close them out. So anyway, thanks, everyone, for listening. We talked about some good things tonight. You know, we talked about different things. Politics, again. I know Mike, he likes talking about politics. That's why I chose it tonight. We're bringing back politics to the forum. I'm sorry, but Easter Sunday was a religious holiday, so that's why you talked about religion. But the show goes many different ways, and I do listen to the listeners and take their advice. Let me see here. Bridget Pruitt, thank you very much for calling in, but the show is just about over. But thank you for calling in. All right. Everyone. I hope you had a good Easter, by the way. I hope everyone had a good Easter dinner. We had ham, whipped potatoes, corn on the cob, stuffing, green beans. It was an awesome Easter dinner. My wife worked very hard cooking the dinner. She stayed in the kitchen from 1 o'clock till 6 o'clock cooking our dinner. Hats off to her. She did a good job. She worked hard. And God bless her. And at the same time, she had to take care of two children. So she did a good job. So I respect her. God bless her. All right, everyone. Good night. Take care. See you on Thursday.
There's an issue you know I care passionately about. So here is my position, loud and clear.
All you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the fucking money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. You know, anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything you can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank. You know how I describe the economic and social classes in this country? The upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all of the work. The poor are there just to scare